for two readings this morning. The first is from Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 30. As I was being scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen, traveled as far as the religious Cyprus and Antioch, telling the message among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord came with quickly, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church of Jerusalem as they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a man who took the Holy Spirit praying, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. This Barnabas went past the Lord of Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for the whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and, through the Spirit, predicted a severe famine which spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending a gift to the elders that by Barnabas and Paul. And now Matthew in chapter 11 also, and verses 25 to 30. At that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to the children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been given to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
For the past weeks, we've been looking at how we can become individuals in a congregation with a focus on evangelism. We've begun a process of change, which many of you have taken up. Jesus wants us to be talking to the people we know and see about him. But he might become a part of more people's lives. We've spoken about the importance of evangelism. We've looked at how we can prepare ourselves for evangelism. And so I want to ask you this morning, how are you going with your preparation? Are you looking at the people you know and making with open eyes to see who God might want you to talk to about him? Are you praying for God to help increase the amount you speak about him to others? Are you praying for particular people and for specials to you? Are you progressing in your mastering of the gospel? Have you read over John 3:1-21 a number of times to really get familiar with it? And what about the other passages from the gospel? And here are some suggestions, such as Acts 2:40-36, Romans 3:23-24, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, Ephesians 2:4-5, Colossians 1:19-20, Titus 3:4-7, and 1 Peter 1:3-5, and 3:4-5. Copies of the sermon, and those that are emailed out to you, we'll have those for quick reference later on. And have you started to get really familiar with a few key stories about Jesus? Jesus is the woman of the well. Jesus is healing. Jesus is getting outcasts. Jesus is helping people. Just look over the gospel and look at the headings and look for something that grabs your attention. Find those stories which grab you and get to know them well. When you start looking at what to say and where to start and share it, so it's important that you have some clear understanding yourself. Maybe practice explaining the gospel to yourself so that you have it clear in your own mind. You will never be comfortable with sharing the gospel if you only have a vague understanding of it. If you really want to give a loving God with all you are a go and your neighbors as you love yourself, then you need to put in the preparation now. If you haven't today. Don't start tomorrow with your preparation. Start today. If you don't already have the spiritual habits, they will take time to form. And every time you realize that you've dropped off of them, then that day you just choose to get back on it. Don't punish yourself, you punish you, just get back on with practicing your spiritual discipline. As Joshua says, choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. So in my last message, we started looking at how we conceptualize evangelism. We did this to help us form a picture in our minds of what evangelism looks like. And these conceptualizations that we're continuing on with this morning, they are low-resolution images, which will help us to develop a big picture understanding without having to worry about the details, so that we don't miss the forest for the trees. So we looked at how are we to be bishops of men. And this means that we ought to use techniques and strategies that help increase the effectiveness of our bringing people to Jesus. And we're always to have an extra motive for everything that we're doing and saying, because we want to lead as many people as we can to Jesus. And a key component of this is to become like those who we're sharing with. We take on their interests and we respect their beliefs. However, we always maintain a firm understanding of who we are in Christ, and we never break the commands of Christ. And there are two main ways that we do evangelism. And there are things we can do which can help us to cast a wide net over as many people as we can throughout the living of our daily lives. And there are also ways to help us reach specific people who are important to us or who God has placed on our path. And we'll get into what we do about those things later on. Not this week, but later on. But this week, as we continue to conceptualize evangelism, we're looking at how evangelism is really a process of discipleship, but just before the person has chosen themselves to be the son. In evangelism, our goal is for someone to choose to follow Jesus. So everything we do in evangelism is about helping someone come to this decision. And so evangelism necessarily becomes the process of taking people on a journey of discovery about Jesus. And so that's what we're doing in evangelism. We are introducing people to Jesus over the time we have with them and drawing them nearer to God. And just like we read for discipleship, we do this in all manner of ways. Now, discipleship is the word we use to describe the intentional process of building up people's faith or a person's faith for Jesus. It involves all sorts of things. It involves including people in the life of the church. It involves being taught about God in Bible study, telling people about Jesus. It involves training with people and for people. It involves giving people an example to follow in service. In service of others, in participating in ministry, in mission. It includes encouraging people to step up and step out of faith. Everything of which is used to intentionally build up faith in Jesus is discipleship. So how then do we disciple people who don't know Jesus or haven't yet chosen to follow him? So that they do come to that place where they do know. Well, it involves doing everything like a change to get another person to find out with that person that we're sharing. But the person does not yet have their own active faith in Jesus. So we invite them to be involved in our spiritual life. We involve them in our spiritual life in ways which they're okay with or comfortable with. If someone lets you pray with them, pray for them. If someone is willing to come to help out at the church event, invite them to be involved. But what we're always looking at doing is moving people from wherever they are with Jesus close to some say, just helping out at the school and leaving it at that. So we're moving people. We're trying to help move people nearest to Jesus, drawing people to God. Jesus engaged in this process of discipling those who hadn't yet decided to follow him quite often. Even before Jesus called the very first disciples, he already begun teaching the gospel, saying, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. However, Jesus never stopped talking to non-believers throughout his entire ministry. He spent time teaching the masses who have come to hear what he's got to say. He healed multitudes of people who come to him to be healed. He has numerous people signs, and he answers the questions of those who come up to him. Jesus spends a lot of time with people who have not yet come to believe in him as the Son of God and as the promised Messiah. When it came to the early church, they also engaged in sharing the gospel, and they invested a lot of effort in teaching and discipling wrong and new Christians. In Acts 11:19-31, our reading from Acts this morning, we read the story of the beginnings of the church at Antioch. This story comes just after Peter has explained the gospel to Cornelius and his household. And so this story in Acts marks the second instance in the story of Acts of people of the gospel being preached to Gentiles. The second instance. So in Acts 11:20 we read this word. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And so for the first time, we have the gospel being preached in a city to both Jews and Gentiles. And a large number of Gentiles become believers. God, Jesus is blessing this ministry. And when Jerusalem hears about this, the Jerusalem church, they send Barnabas to help the church in Antioch. And Barnabas continues to teach and share the gospel. But he in turn meets Paul, who's still called Saul, and together they spend a year teaching to new Christians and sharing about Jesus. And so what's going on here is that the Jewish believers in Jesus have decided to start talking to non-Jews about Jesus and explaining to them who he is. So in that one sentence that we read in Acts about the Greeks being taught about Jesus, we know that these Jews have started discipling Greeks who knew nothing about Jesus and may not have known anything about the Jewish God, or the God of the Jews, Yahweh, and they did it in such a way that it made sense to these Greeks. And so much so that a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Now, we're not given any great amount of detail about how they did this or what they said, save that it was the good news about Jesus. But the fact that Jewish believers started sharing about Jesus with Gentiles, with Greeks, it means that they would have taken them on a bit of a journey of discovery. And the same is true for what we need to do. We need to take people on a journey of discovery, maybe even people who have never even heard about Jesus. And so, what is it that we're going to start sharing with them and showing them as we begin to take people on this journey? Well, how did Jesus start his ministry? And what do we know about the sharing which the Christians did in Antioch? They shared good news. They shared good news. As we share with people about Jesus, what we share has got to be how he is good news to the people that we are talking to. Now, I'm sure that God has been able to use street preachers standing on the corner pronouncing judgment to bring some people to faith. Why is the church almost everyone in here? Because they aren't preaching good news. Being condemned to hell isn't good news. It's the worst news. It might be true, but it's not good news. Sure, Jesus continues to say, repent and believe the good news. But first of all, there has to be good news which would lead someone to want to repent. If you're starting with hell in judgment for someone who has no knowledge of the good news of Jesus, then you're probably not starting in the best place. So as we begin in sharing about Jesus, what we have to say has to be good news the person we're sharing with. And who doesn't like good news? Who is going to get angry when you share with them something positive that you found? Something you found helpful. Now, I'm sure there are going to be some people who just find God so offensive that they would. Oh, well, move on or continue to pray for them. But you get what I'm saying? When we start journeying people in that discovery of Jesus, we start with telling them good news. We worship a good God, right? Don't we? So we want to introduce people to Him and His goodness. When Jesus began His ministry, He started by saying, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus begins by giving the people good news. That good news that they needed to hear. For the average Jew, this was that God was close at hand. And that He was giving each and every one of us the opportunity to be a part of His kingdom. All they had to do was to make the decision to turn from their wayward way and believe in Jesus. The average Jewish person, this was good news. They all needed God to call them to be holy as He was holy. And the Pharisees made sure that everyone who lived up to their standard, used as a measure of. But here comes Jesus and explains it doesn't matter how sinful that they have been in their life, doesn't matter how sinful you've been in your life, you can be forgiven and be a part of God's kingdom. And in our gospel reading this morning, we see Jesus making another invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now the invitation Jesus made at the beginning of His ministry was good news for those in the Jewish context. But today, it may not translate straight into people's lives in our social context who may not have ever even heard about God or Jesus or anything like that. So it might take some explaining, okay? However, Jesus' invitation in today's gospel reading is to beautifully put and say it in a way which is both truthful and attractive to anyone of any heart at any place. It's a straightforward good news for anyone. It's self-explanatory how this is good. Now, both are essentially the same message when you drill down into it. Both are invitations by Jesus to find in Him what we need most, and to learn from Him how to live this life and to belong to God. And this is what Jesus wants to offer all people who do not yet know Him. And this is good news. Jesus offers rest to everyone who feels weary of life and weighed down by the burdens of life. He offers rest. Isn't that wonderful news for people in this world? And then He offers people the invitation to learn from Him. And there's no need to be afraid. Because Jesus is gentle and he's humble. And in learning from him, you will find rest to your soul. People need to know that God is on their side. And he wants to help them with the issues and the problems they face. This is good news for all. So evangelism. In the discipleship of people who have not yet decided to follow Jesus. To do this, we involve non-Christians in our spiritual life. And we invite people to draw near to God. We share with them the good news about Jesus, and we introduce them to our Jesus who is real, and we invite them to come to him, and to have him help.